You're listening to the Bitcoin.com podcast. Our guest today is Ivan, CEO of MoonPay.com. This episode is brought to you by the Bitcoin.com exchange, the exchange you can trust. Buy and sell Bitcoin as well as 250 digital assets. The Bitcoin.com exchange is secure, fast, easy, and reliable. Register within seconds and buy crypto with a credit or debit card. Join our community of traders now. Exchange.bitcoin.com. I'm your host, Dustin Plantholt. Join us as we dive into the world of economics, politics, tech, Bitcoin, and cryptocurrency. For even more crypto-related news, sign up at news.bitcoin.com or follow us on Twitter at Bitcoin.com. Now let's bring on our guest. Ivan, welcome to the Bitcoin.com podcast.
Thanks for having me, Dustin.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Now, let's talk about MoonPay. What sort of problems is MoonPay looking to solve?
Yeah, so really we're focused on payment infrastructure for crypto. We feel that, you know, really our mission is to bring cryptocurrencies to a billion people. And, you know, for us, it's about the use cases. Like, how do we make crypto make an impact on everyone's everyday life? So that means things like making cross-border remittances more efficient, enabling people in countries where they're unbanked to have, you know, a crypto bank account. We really want to push crypto adoption.
But unbanked, I mean, you're telling me that even today that there are, now, obviously children don't have bank accounts, or most of them, but there are adults around the world who are still unbanked.
Yeah, I mean, it blew my mind kind of looking at the stats, right? You have in a lot of developing countries, they're just not as fortunate as we are, right? Where they have banking infrastructure that works at all. And so, I mean, you can look at some countries, a good example is like Kenya, right? They actually were creating their own banking system. There was a tool called M-Pesa. And really that came from people trading mobile phone credits around. And so I think in a lot of countries, you know, the fact that internet has become so global, what's really powerful about cryptocurrency is if you have access to the internet, you can set up a public and private key and have a wallet in minutes. And so if I want to send money to someone in Nigeria, I can do that in just a couple minutes using cryptocurrency. And I think that's super powerful. They don't have to go to a retail bank. They don't need to have that infrastructure in place in the country. As long as they have an internet connection, they can go from unbanked to banked.
Now, you talked about payment infrastructure. Why does it take, and this is a personal example, why does it take 3 days for me to send money or receive money?
So what I talk to a lot of people about is just really our legacy payment system. You know, if we were going from a blank sheet of paper and looking at it again, it probably wouldn't look like where we are today, right? A lot of these things were built 20, 30 years ago. And, you know, what you're describing in that particular example is ACH, right? The ACH system can be quite slow. You can be 3 days to move money domestically, which is, you know, really not compatible with this internet age we're living in, where we expect things to be instant. And cryptocurrency is really representing an opportunity to make transactions global, make them more like the internet, and eventually make money, sending money just like an email, right? We need to bring down those transaction costs, and we need to make things more efficient in terms of speed. We still have a ways to go. I would say the crypto infrastructure isn't quite there yet, especially for microtransactions, but there's brilliant people all around the world working on ways to kind of scale these blockchains so we can use them in everyday life.
Now, how did you get into cryptocurrency? I mean, it is not the easiest thing to enter. I mean, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and quite frankly, it can be a little complicated. So how did you enter and where did you learn?
Yeah, so it's a pretty funny story, I guess, for me in terms of the crypto rabbit hole. It started back in college. I went to the George Washington University in DC and studied economics. And I remember I was sitting in my thesis class. Everyone had to basically write a thesis on a particular topic. And I remember a friend of mine decided to make his thesis about Bitcoin. This was back in 2012. And I remember hearing kind of the high-level abstract to what he was going to do. And I said, well, what thesis am I writing? I should be writing this thesis. This is super interesting. And it was kind of one of those things where it was in the back of my mind. I thought I need to buy some Bitcoin, but I didn't end up moving immediately. But I ended up starting my career in finance in London after I graduated. And I got a good understanding of, you know, asset allocation. So essentially how big pension funds allocate their capital to different asset classes. So I saw kind of cryptocurrency from that lens, and I saw it as, wow, this is maybe an alternative asset class. And so that's when I first kind of jumped in the, you know, buying Bitcoin on Coinbase. And then kind of fast forward, I ended up leaving to start my first business, which was, you know, I understood how pension funds helped people invest their money. I wanted to help retail investors save and invest their money. So I built my first startup in 2015, where I was connecting to a lot of the legacy infrastructure to help people automate their savings. But the reality is savings is kind of like flossing your teeth. You know, the interest rates are so low. It wasn't a super compelling product for people. So 2017, I was kind of back at the drawing board. And at that time, crypto was really taking off. And so, you know, was thinking with my co-founder, Victor, what are some solutions, or what is something that we can build to bring more people into the space? Because the reality was there were a couple of major exchanges, but, you know, the user experience wasn't amazing. And ironically, it was Bitcoin.com that you know, led to a light bulb in our heads. We got an email from Bitcoin.com saying, hey, they liked our wallet. And that was an opportunity where we met with the Bitcoin.com team and realized that they had this issue of accepting debit and credit cards on their website. They had a solution, but we felt that we could build a solution that could convert better. And that's kind of where MoonPay was born. We ended up trying to solve a problem for Bitcoin.com to enable their users to buy cryptocurrency more effectively with their debit and credit card. Fast forward to today, we're 250 partners, 160 countries. And really our vision is we want to cover every single payment method. So, you know, if we want to see this world where more and more people earn crypto and transaction costs eventually tend towards zero, there's all these amazing applications once you're inside of crypto. The only way that we're going to get there is we have to connect them to the legacy payment system. You know, the way I look at it is, you know, Skype, right, was one of the first companies to really solve internet-based communication, right? Voice over IP is the protocol that we're using right now to communicate over the internet. And that really was way more efficient than the legacy system of, you know, cell towers and making really expensive long-distance phone calls. But in the same way, it's not like your phone number disappeared. And in my view, it's not like your bank account or debit and credit card is going to disappear overnight. But over time, we'll move to this more efficient system. And so our view with MoonPay is to get people into the mainstream and bringing crypto into the mainstream, we have to go backwards and create this backwards compatibility with the existing financial system.
Now, when do you define something as being mainstream? I mean, the cryptocurrency ecosystem has reached, the market cap has reached over $1 trillion. Is that not mainstream?
My view, I still think we have a long way to go, right? I mean, just to compare the $1 trillion market cap number, you know, we have gold, which is closer to 10 trillion. So we're just 1/10 of gold. And gold is still, you know, in my view, considered an alternative asset class, right? And that's just, you know, if we're looking at a Bitcoin to gold comparison, there's probably a long way for it to go to be seen as kind of the store of value replacement 2.0. But I think, you know, for me, what actually fascinates me more is this idea that, you know, I can do cross-border remittances super cheaply, right? The idea that I can be in the United States, send money to someone in the Philippines, and in minutes, they can receive you know, this cryptocurrency token, which they can then spend without having to use Visa or MasterCard and reduce those costs, and also be able to cash out into their local currency. You know, I think that is a big game changer versus kind of the existing system we have today, where, you know, companies like Western Union, companies like MoneyGram charge 10 to 15% and take days, right? So, you know, ultimately, I think, you know, cross-border remittances, I mean, that's a massive industry. We're talking trillions of dollars that move around in our financial system. You know, if we can make that more efficient and have that happen through cryptocurrency, you know, that's what we get super excited about. It's these use cases beyond just Bitcoin going up in value. It's, you know, how do we make an impact on everyone's life?
And where do you see MoonPay going ultimately? I mean, obviously, when you started the company, you had one goal, one vision, and I imagine it's probably now gone into many different directions. Like, where do you see it heading?
Yeah, so I think, again, it really comes down to, for us, we try to put a number on it to make us excited and also be able to measure our progress. We say we want to bring 1 billion people into crypto by 2030. Which we think is an achievable goal, right? If we go B2B, it's, you know, through the partners that we work with, we think we can hit that billion number. You know, we've hit 1.7 million in our first 2 years. So we think it is achievable through the partnerships to get to 1 billion. But you know, really the vision is more around, okay, what does this world look like when we become crypto first? What are all these applications that we can build on top of crypto? And none of that can exist unless we can bring everyone into cryptocurrencies. And so for us, it's really about solving this accessibility problem and looking country by country. Okay, we're in the United States. What payment methods are people using? Okay, we're in Nigeria. What payment methods are people using? That kind of drives from a data perspective, we can figure out what payment methods we need to integrate into MoonPay. And we're not going to rest until we have every single payment method covered across every single geography, doing that within regulatory compliance and doing that with the very best service, right? So making sure that our customers, whether it be our partners, are really happy with the service, and also end users, right? They feel that it's a service that they can trust, a service that's reliable, and a service that just continuously dedicates itself to getting better.
Now, as a CEO, how do you tackle problems?
How do I tackle problems? You know, I think probably my most helpful framework, right, is we're in kind of information overload society, right? There's so many things you could be focusing on day to day. I'd say my most helpful framework is I try to look at things from this quadrant, right? What is the most impactful thing I can be doing? And what is the thing that I can be doing with and measuring that against effort, right? So really every day I'm looking at where are the opportunities for me to look at the most impactful things I can do with the least amount of effort. And really, I would say in the short term for us, that really comes down to hiring, right? We really focus on bringing the very best people into our team because I really feel that humans are the ultimate variable. Having the best people is the ultimate variable to your success. So we put a lot of emphasis on making sure that we hire the right people, because ultimately, if you hire the right people, you can step away as CEO to an extent. I think the ultimate success of a CEO is one that can step away and make sure that the company is running smoothly. And so really our focus over the next couple of years is creating redundancy across every area of our business in the way that it's very goal driven, knowing that we're getting to our mission of bringing cryptocurrencies to 1 billion people and staying super focused on getting better every day.
Now, talk us through the hiring process a little bit more. That there's a lot of talent throughout the world. When do you know? I mean, because ultimately the person's going to be, I guess, in some ways, an ambassador of your brand, like what you've created and how you and your team have got here. That's a lot of risk onboarding people. How do you do it?
Yeah, I think it's super unique. Obviously, being remote distributed, we were kind of remote distributed before COVID, right? So that's obviously a new normal, right? Hiring people where you haven't been able to meet them in person in a lot of cases. And so I think we've been super lucky. We've tried to create a culture where we have a lot of referrals. So people recommending people that they may have worked with in the past. But also, you know, we look for some common signals, right? There's obviously, you know, what I would say is the best people are typically already working somewhere, right? So really you have to convince them that your vision and your vision for the future is more compelling. You know, I'm super psyched to wake up every morning. And so I think, you know, when I jump on a call with someone, you know, I've reached out to a lot of people cold. You know, sometimes that passion shines through and, you know, I can typically find out whether someone resonates with that passion and is potentially excited to get involved. And so, you know, I think you have to, when it comes to hiring, right, it's very much a front office function. I think it's something you have to take super seriously. I would say I'm dedicating, you know, 50% of my time just really making sure that we bring in the best people. You know, really, really excited to continue building this remote culture. And ultimately, it comes down to being able to trust people, right? These people need to be autonomous. We try not to babysit people. We just try to give people very clear direction on ultimately where we want to go and give them the liberty to get the job done and be most effective with their time.
It sounds to me that you've built a company with a culture that starts with you showing the team you'll be the first one in and last one to leave. So talk about that. What does a work schedule look like in a founder CEO in this cryptocurrency ecosystem?
Yeah, so crypto is 24/7. So that's obviously super unique, right? We have customers in 160 countries all over the world, right? And so, you know, that really just comes down to being organized and being smart with your time, right? You can't do everything. And so, as I mentioned before, it really comes down to that quadrant, right? Like where is the most effective use of my time and not necessarily just measuring, you know, I think before I had this idea that, you know, it was all about hustling and grinding out 100 hour plus weeks. But I realized that if I take care of myself, you know, good sleep, good rest, good eating, while also, you know, being very focused on, you know, the three things that I want to get done every single day and crossing those things off my list. It's not just about, sheer number of hours. It's really just the quality of those hours. Right. So, you know, we have a philosophy at MoonPay. It's Kaizen, which is continuous improvement. And that's something I try to embody myself, but also try to promote across the entire team, is just, how do we get better every single day?
Yeah. You know, here at Lightstuff Media, I look at OQP, only qualified people, that you have to put people around you that are qualified, in some ways more qualified than you. Years ago, I heard a quote, somebody asked Warren Buffett, how'd you do it? And he said, I put people around me, no, this is my word, smarter than me. So is that what you've done, that in the areas that you're not strong, you bring in people to fill those areas?
100%. I mean, I definitely want to surround myself with people smarter than me. I think that's always, every person I look at in the business is smarter than me in one way or the other. It ultimately comes down to trust, right? If we trust, in the process and in the people, things get done.
And so kind of tell us now, how can we learn more about MoonPay?
Sure. You can check us out on moonpay.com. We have some info in there if you want to sign up as a partner. We love working with crypto startups that are starting to think about their on and off ramps. And also what we're finding is we want to work with a lot of enterprises. We're finding a lot of fintechs, a lot of challenger banks are thinking about how they can give exposure to their users into crypto. And we'd love to have that chat.
Thank you again for sharing your story on the Bitcoin.com podcast.
Thanks so much, Dustin. Talk soon.
You've listened to another episode of the Bitcoin.com podcast. Subscribe at news.bitcoin.com, where your journey begins.